You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Tuesday, the 3rd of November 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Ahead, the share market up 1.9%, its best day in about a month, and that comes ahead of the US presidential election. But first, let's talk interest rates. Reserve Bank cut the official cash rate to a record low from 0.25% today to 0.1%. It also unveiled a package of other supportive measures like quantitative easing, printing money to buy government bonds. It's all about supporting the economy and jobs as we try to navigate out of the COVID-led recession. Here is the Reserve Bank Governor, Philip Lowe, explaining.
At its core, today's decision reflects the Reserve Bank Board's commitment to do what we reasonably can with the tools that we have to support the recovery of the Australian economy. The Board views addressing the high rate of unemployment as a national priority, and it wants to do what it can do to support job creation. Importantly, today's decision complements government efforts to support the Australian economy and to lower unemployment.
I'll go into more detail about the package of measures in a moment, but first, I did get the opportunity to ask the Governor a question during a media and analyst conference, and I wanted to know a bit more about how much support there was inside the RBA for these new package.
Your next question is from Ricardo Gonçalves from SBS. Please go ahead.
Good day, Governor. Was this package of measures unanimously supported by all board members?
I don't think it's appropriate to talk about the kind of the views of individual board members, but I think the short answer is there's a very broad consensus that this is the right way to go. I think we're all concerned about the outlook for the jobs and the labour market, and we recognise that this package of measures will in the end help support spending in the economy, and it will create more jobs and more people have better lives because of that. And we're united in that conviction.
Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe there. So for more on the RBA's decision and what it means for you, I spoke earlier, immediately after the announcement, with AMP Capital Chief Economist Shane Oliver.
The economy is not expected to recover quickly enough to get the unemployment rate down. And the Reserve Bank says quite clearly the recovery is still expected to be bumpy and drawn out, and the outlook depends very much on containing the virus. So there's just a whole pile of uncertainties out there at a time when unemployment is very high, and the Reserve Bank basically wants to do all it can to get the unemployment rate back down.
How does the RBA feel about the Australian and global economies?
Oddly enough, when you read the statement, I've only glanced at it quickly here, they seem to be a little bit more negative about the global outlook, given the latest surge in coronavirus cases in Europe and the US, but a little bit more positive on the Australian outlook. And I think that's consistent with the continued reopening in Australia. Put it all together, though, if you've got those global uncertainties, you can still understand why the Reserve Bank's feeling nervous about things. And they're also, I guess, concerned that at some point the virus might make a comeback in Australia, just as it has in other parts of the world.
What's interesting too is this package of changes, right? And not just that, but this bond buying program, that $100 billion bond buying program, it's put a figure on it. What does it mean? And how does that impact the average person?
Well, it means that the Reserve Bank will be printing money. They're literally printing money. They're using that money to buy up government bonds. And that has the effect of, one, help making it easier to finance the budget deficit. This year, for example, we have a budget deficit of $214 billion, according to the budget. The Reserve Bank's going to be buying up around, at least they're talking about $100 billion worth of bonds here, and possibly even some more in terms of their yield curve control target. So they're going to be buying a big chunk of the bonds that are going to be issued. That makes it easier to finance the budget deficit. For ordinary Australians, it means a lower cost of funding. If the Reserve Bank is out there pumping money into the economy, buying up government bonds, it pushes bond yields down, and therefore fixed mortgage rates are likely to decline further. So a lower cost of borrowing, whether you're a business or a household, to get a mortgage, it'll be somewhat cheaper. Finally, I think all that increase in the supply of money in Australia will push the Aussie dollar below where it otherwise would have been. And that, of course, will make it a bit more expensive if you want to go on an overseas holiday. Not that many people can do that at the moment, or anyone can do it at the moment, but it does make Australian exporters more competitive internationally, and also it supports companies that have to compete with imports. So all of that, I think, is aimed at making for a stronger Australian economy.
Shane, given rates are now pretty much as low as they can go, what next? What can the RBA do, and what is its role?
Well, that's a good question. I reckon they scraped the bottom of the barrel here now. I don't think the Reserve Bank will take the official cash rate negative. You can't rule that one out. If the Bank of England, the Bank of Canada, and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand are thinking about it, then maybe they might do it here. But I don't think so. I reckon we've hit rock bottom in terms of the official cash rate. Therefore, all the pressure is on what you call quantitative easing. Ongoing programs of buying up government bonds, pumping more cash into the economy, helping keep the Aussie dollar lower and helping keep longer-term borrowing costs down. So it really is a bit like what the Fed's seen over the last few years now, that they can't cut interest rates any further, or the ECB, they've got to resort to printing money.
Shane Oliver there from AMP Capital speaking with me immediately after the Reserve Bank decision. So lower rates for longer is the theme, and the RBA says it will not lift interest rates for at least 3 years. That might be good news for borrowers and homeowners, but not necessarily for savers. So what can you do about it? I spoke earlier with Sally Tindall from Rate City.
Not only are they going to see their savings rates fall away yet again, but they are not going to see a rate rise for the next 3 years, if not more. I mean, at this point in time, you know, the big four banks are offering 0.05% on their standard savings accounts on an ongoing basis. If they cut those rates any further, we will be looking at 0% savings rates, which means that banks are only a safe place to stash your cash. Now, there are some lenders out there that are offering higher rates. It always does pay to shop around. So if you still want to keep your money on a bank because the government guarantees it up to $250,000, it is worth shopping around. There are still savings rates out there at 1.5%. That's likely to be cut slightly given today's rate cut, but they still will be a lot more than what the big four banks are offering. So one thing out of this whole outlook for savers is if you are with a big four bank or with a bank that's offering you less than, you know, 0.05% for your savings, do yourself a favour, go and have a look at what the competition is like. Take your savings walk in, because that's the way you're going to go and earn interest in the bank.
Sally Tindall there from Rate City. And the Australian share market did rise today, supported by the RBA's decision, but shares were already rising ahead of that. The 200 closing 1.9% at 6,066 points. BHP added 2.6%, Rio 2.5%. Brambles was a star performer today, up by 5.7% on the back of a profit upgrade, although Westpac was the only one of the big four banks to fall, losing 0.6%. There were also reports that China may be banning Australian copper imports, and that impacts some stocks like Sandfire Resources, down 7%. Fell off the back of that, down 3.1%. The Australian dollar, 70.4 US cents at the market close, compared with about 70 US this time yesterday. For more on the market moves, I spoke earlier with Kyle Rodder from IG Markets. Kyle, the market's had a stunner of a day. Did it have more to do with interest rates or the US presidential election?
Well, it looks like something to do with the US presidential election. We got a really solid lead from Wall Street overnight. European stocks surged as well, and stocks in the Asian region have been higher too. So you probably can't chalk it up just to the RBA today in terms of the performance of the ASX 200. But it must be said the ASX did jump after the surprise announcement, really, of the central bank's quantitative easing program. So it did give it a leg up. But even perhaps inexplicably, we have seen just this massive surge in stocks in the last 24 hours, perhaps due to positioning around the US election and perhaps something to do with the anticipation of the outcome of that election.
What happened the last time we went to an election, or the US went to an election in 2016?
Well, stocks sold off into the election. It typically does in the lead up to it. Quite often you see the markets, sell off and bottom out sometime around the end of October before often rallying. Now, of course, the big difference last time in 2016 was that the markets had its mind made up, perhaps a little bit like now, that there would be a Democrat victory, that Hillary Clinton would win the election, just like the expectations now is that Joe Biden will win the election. And shock horror, of course, Trump did prove victorious in 2016, and that sent markets very temporarily selling off because it wasn't expected. So it's not unusual the price action we're seeing at the moment for stocks to sell off into the election like we saw last week, and then when the market starts to price in a victor, because it has to move in ahead of time, that we do see a little bit of a rally just beforehand.
And a contested outcome, though, that's surely the biggest risk to shares, no?
A huge risk, the biggest risk and the risk that market participants at this stage are most concerned. So the fear is right now that perhaps come election night, given the slow process of getting a mail-in ballots, that it could be a close race, that even President Trump could be in the lead at that stage. And at that point in time, the president might have impetus to start to either call a victory or suggest that he will challenge or contest the result in the courts of all the subsequent votes that obviously the president for some time has suggested, may be in some way corrupt and obviously a disadvantage to him. So really the markets are still very worried, and I suspect, with this rally that we've seen in the last 24 hours could easily be reversed throughout the week, because volatility is very, very high. It remains very high in terms of looking forward out from just this current period out in the next couple of months. And that is because the markets are positioning for the potential that this election result could end up in the courts.
Kyle Rotter there from IG Markets. That is SBS On The Money for this Tuesday, the 3rd of November 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.